We're thinking these days about personal renewal. And we've considered two messages on the Holy Spirit, filling us, using us. Last week from Romans 12, 1 and 2, we considered presenting our bodies, our life, a living sacrifice. With the exhortation, will you do it? Will you? Now, how are you coming here this morning? If God shows you something in His Word that calls for your dedication, your life, some attention to something that's unworthy, are you willing to change? Will you respond this morning to the call of God and to the Word of God? If that isn't true, then we are merely here hypocritically, because we're going to be exposed to the Word of God and we're called upon to respond. So today we're looking at verse 2 in Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, one of the interesting things is to read the different translations of this verse. I think the most popular one is by Phillips, which is not a literal translation, but a paraphrase. And Phillips says, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. That communicates, doesn't it? The second most popular one is my own. Nobody knows about it, but it's popular today, because I just thought of it this morning. Don't give in to peer pressure. That's the message. Don't let this world take your life, because it will. Do not be conformed to this world. So we're thinking about overcoming this world system. What does all that mean? Do not be conformed to this world. Well, this world has a system of life that wants us, wants our life, wants every human being to be in subject to their system. And it includes several elements. But let me call your attention to why Paul is writing these words to us. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your life to God, and do not be conformed. Now, chapter 12 is said to begin the practical section of the book of Romans. So you have 11 chapters of deep, heavy doctrine where Paul is taught justification by faith. He is taught predestination. He is taught election. He is taught the grace of God. Now, in the light of that, do this. But let me point out that when Paul writes, he uses this pattern of teaching. Heavy-duty doctrine, application. But his application is also filled with doctrine. So we don't want to look at Romans 12, 1 and 2 and think that it's just a humanistic experience. It's response to the call of God, and it is doctrinal truth. And I remind you again of this urgent plea. He says to these people, writing to the Christians in Rome and then to the people down through the years of church history, I urge you. If he were standing here this morning, he'd say, folks, I'm pleading with you. You've got to take this seriously. You can't neglect this truth. You must respond to God's word. I beseech you, I pray you, I plead with you to follow this truth, to give your life a holy, living sacrifice, and don't be conformed to this world. So let's then consider what it means to reject this world system. On the back of the bulletin, you have an outline, and if it's helpful to follow, please do so. The world system. We could put one word over the world system as an umbrella and be accurate in our looking at the world system. And that is the word unbelief. Paul is talking about the world of unbelief, the society that is controlled by the prince of the power of the air and controlled by the people of unbelief. And we are to reject that world system. Now, one of the elements of that world system is well known as secularism. And what is secularism? It's a philosophy of life known as now. Everything is for now. Get it all now because there's nothing else and nothing later. This age is all there is. That's all there is to life, right now. Carl Sagan, who is one of the leading spokesmen for the philosophers of our day, the psychologists of our day, and the sociologists of our day, said this: the cosmos, meaning the world, is all that is, all that ever was, and all that ever will be. Now that's secularism. That's one of the best definitions you could ever get. This world, this life, is all that is, all that ever was, and all that ever will be. That's atheistic secularism. To say that this is God, right here what we have now is God. It's life on earth only. An interesting thing about the Sagan statement and the word for God, Jehovah, is that it counteracts everything Sagan has said. Jehovah is a word taken from three Hebrew words, and that word Jehovah means God was, God is, and God will be. Just counteracts that whole thing of that secular system. Life on earth now, that's it. No eternal, nothing else. Now, we're called upon to reject that. And I would say most of us Christians think we are rejecting that. However, it's possible that we can neglect the positive thoughts and attitudes that God Himself is our God. And don't let this world squeeze you into that mold. Now let's think about life in the USA and ask some questions. Are we a Christian nation? Have we ever been a Christian nation? I think the answer to those questions is no. You don't have a Christian nation unless everyone in the nation is regenerate. That has never been. It isn't true now. However, years ago, at the beginning of the country, there were Christians who had greater influence in the control of government and life than we have now. So there has been Christian influence in the formation of the Constitution, in the printing of our money, and in certain creeds that have come about, there was Christian influence to a far greater degree than we have now. There was Christian influence in the public school system, which we don't have today. So we are changing. And as we live in this country today, we live in a secular society to a greater degree than ever before in our history. Don't let it grab you. Paul says, don't be conformed to this government of the world. Do not embrace secularism. Now, another element in the world system is called humanism, which is very close to secularism. Humanism revolves around the thought of man. Everything revolves around me man and our glory. It's for us. This whole shot is for us. Creation is, well, they don't say creation. They say this thing is for us and for our glory. Now, you look through history and you see the epitome of humanistic philosophy of life. One of those men is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. He marches on Israel. He takes Jerusalem, ransacks Jerusalem, takes the sacred vessels out of the temple, takes them back to Babylon, takes slaves of some of the great young men from Israel, including Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he's got them there. Nebuchadnezzar, in a sense, rules the world. He is the emperor of the greatest empire. And so one day he's talking to himself, it's recorded in Daniel, and he's saying, look at what I have done. Now he has a great palace. And in that palace he has one of the seven wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, belong to Nebuchadnezzar. Look at my kingdom, look at me, look at my majesty, look at my glory. Everything revolves around him. God supernaturally stepped in and caused this man to become insane. And for 7 years he lives like an animal. And God subdues his pride and brings humility. And Nebuchadnezzar then comes out to say, there's no God like that, and we bow to him. But Nebuchadnezzar is the epitome of humanism. Everything about around me and myself. Another man we read about is called the rich man in the Gospel of Luke. And this man says to himself, well, look at all that I have. My goods, I don't have enough barns to store all my possessions. So he said, I'm going to build barns, my barns, to store my goods for myself. Humanism. God steps in and says to this man, you're a fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Don't let the world squeeze you into selfism and to worship yourself and to think that everything revolves around you. And don't let that happen, because you'll be a loser. Humanism will lose. Secularism will lose. God will destroy secularism. God will destroy humanism, and it is not to control our life. Humanism is opposed to God. It's hostile to Christianity and affects our life today. The fastest growing cult in the world is New Age. And New Age is a humanistic philosophy of life. It is selfism. The exhortation is, do not conform. Do not embrace humanistic philosophy. Now again, you may say, well, we Christians don't believe in humanism. To the extent that we are full of pride and that our world begins to revolve around ourselves of what happens to me, and we make every decision about ourselves, and we begin to be proud of what we have, we are becoming humanistic. Don't give in to it. This Sunday, in January 1994, make a decision, make a response to say, Lord, humble my heart and do not let my life revolve around me and my glory. A third element of this world system is relativism, which simply means there are no absolutes. So you can't say that anything is right or anything is wrong. Now, those who believe that contradict themselves. For instance, the professor said to his class, I am absolutely certain that truth is relative. Total contradiction. But that's the attitude. There's no right or wrong. And what does that spell? It spells chaos. At the end of the book of Judges, there's the statement, every man did that which was right in his own sight. And that's what we have going today. Do your own thing. Be sure that you are independent. Be sure that you don't give in to the absolutes. So today in our country, we have a values vacuum. And the exhortation is, do not conform. Don't buy into them. Don't let the educators squeeze you into their mold of conforming to relativism. Another element is that of materialism. And this is the idea that value only exists in that which is material. We become materialistic. We worship the material, get all you can. And that worth is centered in the materialistic. It's living for things. It's making idolatry of our possessions. And we worship that. And so we have environmentalists today who are pushing the worship of the creation above the worship of the Creator. And if you'll read Romans 1 and review that, you'll see that that was the exact thing that people got in trouble about. They were not thankful, and they worshiped the creation above the worship of the Creator. And all sorts of sin developed out of that, of living for things. And the exhortation is, do not conform to that. Don't let that wrap your life. Don't let that take you away. Do not give in to it. Another element is that of Satanism. The world system is filled with Satanism. Now you can think about that in terms of the occult. And as I read and study, I'm told today that one of the big deals for high school and college people today are satanic seances, meeting together. It's a growing thing. And there's satanic worship today that's open in our country like never before. It involves spiritualism. Spiritualism is the attempt to reach the dead apart from God. And so there's Satan. Another part of Satanism, though, is the deception that is brought to human beings as he makes this world so attractive and looks so great and wonderful and so alluring. We give our life to this world and the world system, and we buy into everything that society is saying to us. This world will take our life. It wants us. It's after our heart. It's after our being. And we dare not give in to it. Another element of Satanism is to worship pleasure and to give our life for recreation, for amusement, or for work, to give in to those things. Now the exhortation is, do not be conformed. Paul put it another way when he said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So that if we get too involved with the world system, and we have too much of that in our life, and it's above what we're taking in spiritually, we're in danger of committing spiritual adultery. The words of James in chapter 4 is that the friendship of the world is adultery, spiritual adultery. If you love this world more than you love the Lord, you and I would be in danger of spiritual adultery. Paul said, come out and be separate unto the Lord. I receive Dobson's magazines and periodicals. In this latest one, he gives a review of 1993. And he listed the events of 1993 that have taken our country downhill. How many of them do you think he listed? 51 major incidents from our administration, from our Congress, from our Supreme Court, from our public school system that have taken society downhill. For instance, the president and his wife have appointed 22 homosexuals to high places in government. And so he gives the date, he just goes on and on to point out what's happening. And that we are not to buy in to that world system, which is going downhill. Do not give in to the peer pressure around ourselves. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. You and I are not obligated to this world system. You and I are not obligated to the peer pressure. We don't have to take on everything the world is taking on. We don't have to change our dress, our clothing, to fit in to the world system. We don't have to follow every fad that comes along, every craze, every madness. We are not obligated. Let's express our freedom and claim our freedom in the grace of God to follow Him and live for Him. We don't have to follow the world and its plunge into gross immorality. We're not obligated to do that. How do we summarize this? I think we can safely say this. The world system is a lie. It's a lie. And if you give yourself to it, you live a lie. You spend your life living a lie. What a waste of humanity. What a waste of a life to live for a lie. It's a lie in the sense that it denies God, it rejects God, it ridicules God, it crucifies Christ, and it is a lie. Now, another reason. We say, why, Paul, would you say to us, I plead with you, I urge you, my brother, my sister, do not conform to this world. Why? Well, it's not only dishonoring to God, in a practical sense, it's a loser. If you follow the world, you're a loser. You gain nothing, you win nothing, because God's going to destroy it. You don't want to live a lie, and you don't want to live as a loser, so do not conform to this world. That's the negative part. Paul follows up with the solution. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Interesting word. Metamorphosis, like the lowly caterpillar becoming a beautiful butterfly. That's what God does for us. He transforms us and pulls us out of that world system to believe and trust in Him. And if you're a Christian, it's like this. You've been living in this teeming mass of humanity. And you think of all the people in the big cities in the world this morning, up and down the streets of Calcutta and Hong Kong and New York, and we are living in this society. And God, by His election of you, has come to you. And the Holy Spirit has grabbed you and yanked you and arrested you, as He did the Apostle Paul, to pull you out of that and give you faith and regenerate you and cause you to be a Christian, to transform your life. Be transformed. Now, the verse and the verb here does not say transform yourself. You can't do that. A person who is lost in the world system is hopeless and helpless and can do nothing by himself or herself. It is the grace of God coming to that person and yanking them and pulling them out of them that changes the life. Be transformed, he said. How do you do that? He tells us it's by the renewing of your mind. It's an interesting thing that when you ask questions and you look in the Bible, you find the answer. How do you be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. How do you be renewed in your mind? By the Word of God. Get serious about being a Bible student. Every believer ought to be a serious Bible student, with the Word of God filling our life with truth, purifying us, cleansing us, transforming us through this life. It isn't magic. It's real. It's your exposure to the Word of God and responding to it that brings about the transformation and the renewing of our minds that cause us to worship and serve. We think truth instead of thinking in the world system. One periodical I was reading this week, the author was sort of doing what we're doing, evaluating life, this country, and thinking about the fact that people don't really think much anymore. There's kind of an anti-intellectualism, and he wants people to really think. So he says, this country has been vanitized. What in the world is vanitized? That's a new word. He was referring to Vanna White. How many of you know about Vanna White? Let me see. So we're communicating. Okay. Vanna White is a beautiful young lady who works with the Wheel of Fortune. And Vanna White stands by the side and flips up the letters as people guess for these words. And she runs over and she flips the letters and then she claps. Vanna White has more calluses than any lady in the country. I mean, she claps for everything. Doesn't matter. She claps a lot. Just clap. And she turns those things over. But the guy said, she doesn't have to think. She's got a job. She's popular. She's wonderful. But on that show, she doesn't have to think. She didn't get to say anything. She's vanitized this. Now, it isn't her fault. She may be a very wonderful person. That's just the role they've given her. But she doesn't have to think. Don't ever let yourself get into that position. Be a thinker in the Word of God and respond to the call of God this morning. And by the grace and power of God, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Will you do it? Will you this morning respond to this Word of God, which didn't come from me, didn't come from you, comes from the Lord? I plead with you, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, give your life to God and don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow to you. We bow to your authority over us. We gladly submit our life for you to rule our minds, our hearts, our bodies. Lord, take our life this morning for your glory and receive us as in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we present our life to you. And Lord, so work so mightily that you will save us from living for this world system, that you will cause us not to be unequally yoked, and to come out from among them and among you and be separate unto your glory. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.